If I understand it right, this is first time that Elder Ricky Myers has been to Piney Grove. We're indeed happy and thankful for his presence. He's from Brookhaven, Mississippi. Pastor of Antioch Church?
Yes, sir.
Pastor of Antioch Church. So, Elder Ricky Myers, God bless you, brother.
Do appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning. Brother Clayton must have known me pretty well, because I wish he'd let me know early I was going to preach this morning. I'd have hit the back door back there. He kind of sprung it on me. He called my name. I thought maybe he just read it wrong. You know, all these able brothers here, and I enjoyed Brother Winslow's preaching. And you know, I find it amazing that John the Baptist sent his disciples to go ask, "Art thou he, or shall we look for another?" I find that amazing. Because you got to remember that John the Baptist was the man who baptized Christ. He was the one who saw the Spirit descend like a dove and heard the audible voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I well pleased." But yet he doubted, my friends, and he said, "Art thou he, or shall we look for another?" But let's don't start pointing fingers, friends, because we do the same thing. Amen. How many times do we doubt the Lord? How many times do we doubt His power? And I tell you, I get tired of hearing, "Aren't they just lucky?" Boy, he was just lucky. I don't tell you, the Lord's blessed you.
Amen.
The Lord's blessed the song service this morning. He blessed the preaching this morning. I do pray that He blesses about the next 25, 30 minutes. And every who's to follow, you can get ready, because I'm not long-winded. I was asked in North Alabama one time. I had an uncle who was a Primitive Baptist elder, Elder J.M. Myers, called him Melvin. He was a little known to go a little long sometimes. My dad's a pastor also, a Primitive Baptist elder, and he's kind of short-winded. I was asked by an elderly lady up in North Alabama, said, "Are you from the short-winded Myers or the long-winded?" I'm from the short-winded. I try to go hard and hurry up and sit down. I want to try to follow on what Brother Josh has brought to us this morning. You know, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know about you, but I need encouraging every single day that I breathe oxygen. I need encouraging. Because the world will do everything it can to bring you down. And I'm going to tell you, Satan works on the church day after day after day to say, "Hey, you know, you old Baptists are about to dry up and blow away." Let me tell you, friends, we're still alive. We're still doing well. The Lord is still calling young men to preach the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, that gospel is good news, friends. I like to hear it. I like to hear how the Lord's blessed us, because He's blessed us beyond measure, friends. We live in the tough times in this country. You know why? Because I ain't had it bad in my lifetime. My dad knows what it's like to be tough. He was born during the Depression, friends. He knows what it's like to be tough. I've been kind of spoiled. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe we need a little bit of that, Brother Mike, because if we have a little bit of hard times, I believe it will draw some of us right back to where we need to be, and that's worshiping the King. I'd like to call your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And once again, try to follow the same line that Brother Josh was on. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I'd like to start reading in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1. "After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there were gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, 'Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?' Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, 'Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him.'" Now let me tell you something. That's not a true statement right there. In one way. There were more of them that was coming to fight. But Hezekiah knew something, friends, that all of God's children knows. That the force we have behind us is greater than the world.
Right.
He that is in you is greater than he is in the world.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friends. Here's some encouragement that he's about to give. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you're about to hear some encouraging words, who do you want to hear it from? I don't want to hear it from just some guy that's on television who thinks he knows everything because of his own wisdom. I want to hear it from a man who hears it from God. And it comes from the heart. And let me tell you, if you want to find out what kind of character Hezekiah was, go right back up and read the last two verses of the previous chapter. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. I got news for you. That's good news to me. When you do something, do it with all your heart. When you sing praises that you did this morning, sing with your heart and do it with all your heart. Don't just say, I can't sing, I can't keep the right note. You sing. Let me tell you, the Lord hears it the way that it comes from the heart. He doesn't hear it how well you can do it. I've said this before in preaching. My brother and I, we're both school teachers, and we used to paint during the summer. And we were painting a lady's house one time. I heard the best, worst singing I've ever heard in my life. The best words. It was absolutely horrible when it comes from trying to follow the right note, keeping the right tune, and all that. But let me tell you something. It comes from that poor sister's heart. Yeah. Oh, buddy, it was hot. It was hot. It was during the summer in southwest Mississippi. And I don't know about here in Alabama. It gets hot in southwest Mississippi during the summer. And it was hot. And she didn't have air conditioning in the old house. And she was in the kitchen preparing lunch for she and her husband who was disabled. And she was singing Amazing Grace and How Firm a Foundation. And she sang every single song the same tune. You didn't know didn't have a tune. You knew the words. Let me tell you. Oh, she was singing from her heart. Amen. We ought to do everything as Hezekiah did with our heart. Amen. When we come to church, we ought to do it with our heart. We ought to come prepared for church, friends. I teach school. I want my students to come prepared for school. I want them to have their homework done and their lessons studied. I don't want them to come there not knowing anything. You come prepared. Let me tell you, you got to prepare your heart for church. Amen. The preacher can't open it up and just pour it into you. You've got to come desiring to see the Lord. Amen. That's what he did. He did everything with his life. That's the kind of leader Hezekiah was. And I got news for you. How good off would we be if we had a leader in our country like Hezekiah? Amen. Oh, friends, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a man of natural wisdom, one who's nice looking and can talk real well. I want one that seeks the Lord and seeks his counsel. Amen. Who does what he does and inquires of the Lord. And that's what the kind of man Hezekiah was. Now look at the advice he gives. Look at the advice he gives his people. He tells them to be strong and courageous. To be strong and courageous. How many times did the Lord tell Joshua that very thing when Moses passed the scene and Joshua was to take the leadership? Read Joshua chapter 1, first 6 or 8 verses. You'll find 3 times he tells him to be strong and be courageous. I'm going to tell you, men, it's time we are strong and it's time we be courageous. Amen. I'm tired of little sissy, lily-livered punks. Amen. I hate to put it in southwest Mississippi terms, but I'll go ahead and let you know about me. You're going to hear it straight from the way I believe it. If I offend you, I'll apologize and I'll hug you and tell you I love you. But I'll tell you, it's time for men to be men. Amen. It really is. I see too many of these. They don't know how to treat their wife in the right way. Right. Who wear their pants down below their behind. And I my brother says I have to shut up. So he got on to me. I was in Alabama not too long ago and started doing the same thing. He said, brother, you might want to tone down just a little bit. So let me back off just a notch. He tells to be strong and be courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitudes with him, for there be more with us than with him. Verse 8, look what he says. I love this right here. With him is arm of flesh. You know what he has? He's got the best that man has. That's what he's got. Okay? That may be pretty good. The weapons of warfare today are pretty good. But that's all he's got. That's all he's got. He's got an arm of flesh. Let me tell you what we have. This is why you can be strong and courageous, friends, because he's about to tell you why you can be strong and courageous. We don't have just an arm of flesh with us. We have something greater than that. Yeah. And he tells him, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. Oh, praise the Lord, he's with us every day. Oh, I tell you, I had a pretty long journey yesterday from McGee, Mississippi, where I work, to Dothan, Alabama, and it rained sometimes, and then it rained harder, and it rained light, and then there'd be no rain, and then it rained again. And I was concerned about my safety, but I knew the Lord was with me. Oh, friends, He's with us. He's with us every single day. You may think He don't know where you are, but He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're in need of. He knows your heart right now. He knows some of you are burdened down with the things of this world. I tell you, I am. Amen. We have a lot of sickness around our home. And I'm concerned about some of the health of those I love dearly. But boy, we have something greater than the arm of flesh, friends. We got the Lord on our side. Let me tell you, if you want to see exactly how great the Lord is, I'm going to tell you how you can do it. Read the Bible. Amen. That's all you got to do. If you don't know how great the Lord is, just read the book. It tells you how great He is. Look at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, Moses and the nation of Israel come to the Red Sea. They're in a bind, aren't they? Because there are some people pursuing them who are not their friends. You know what He says? He says, be still. And you see the salvation of the Lord. It's not going to be by my hand. We're about to be delivered, friends. But it's not by my hand. It's going to be the Lord. Amen. Brother Josh mentioned this morning, how many times have you been delivered in your lifetime? How many times? I tell you, there's a song we sing in our book. It's called Count Your Many Blessings. I can't count that high. Amen. I consider myself a fairly intelligent guy, but I can't count that high. Because there are blessings I have, Brother Josh, I never even think of. Amen. I never even think of. I just take things for granted. My vehicle got me safely over here, and I pray that tomorrow when lunch is over and I start heading back home, it'll guide me safely back. Oh, the Lord's blessed us. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what happened, don't you? You know what happened? That Red Sea opened. Let me tell you, there are men who think they have a lot of intellect who will tell you that it was real shallow. They will try to make all kinds of excuses for it. Let me tell you, friends, if it was shallow, that's a miracle too, because he drowned the Pharaoh's army. Yeah. Go figure. You know, when men try to explain godly things away, they dig a hole even deeper.
Right.
That's what happens. You know the only way to explain God's things? God. I think He has all power.
Amen.
I think He has the hearts of kings right there in His hand.
Amen.
He can turn wicked rulers right around and soften them hardened heart, friends. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be praying for that in our world today. He can do it. My wife and I had a pretty good discussion the other day about our leader now. And if I step on your toes about our leader now, I apologize. And I made the statement that I didn't think nobody's going to beat him this next time. She didn't like that statement. She said, are you doubting the power of the Lord? Never. Never. I know where our country stands. I know where our country stands right now. The liberality, the immorality of our country. That's what I look at from a reality standpoint. That's what I'm looking at. But she said, so you don't think God can place us a good leader? I said, yes, He can. But you know what He gave Israel sometimes? Exactly what they wanted. He gave them wicked leaders. You know why? To turn their heart back to where it's supposed to be. Why He did it.
Amen.
Let me tell you, friends, we got to understand this morning that our God's with us every single day.
Amen.
He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. Brother Josh made another statement. I think David said it. I once was young, but now I'm old.
Yeah.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Oh, I can tell you experiences of my life. If I had about 3 hours, I could preach to you about several things. I don't have that much time. I know that. Because I can tell you, friends, I know about those things. I've been there where I feel like, Lord, where is the next meal going to come from? How are we going to pay this bill or that bill over here? And just seems like, there it is. Oh, somebody gives. Somebody provides. Somebody asked me to do a paint job or something. And there's the money for it. I get discouraged sometimes. I've been trying to save money for a while. Trying to put some money back in the bank. I'm getting ready to retire. The other day I took my car to have the oil changed. And spent $200. I come home just a little discouraged because I had a tire that had a big gash on it. And the guy showed it to me. It wasn't one of those things where guys take advantage of you. I don't let them do that to me. I make them show me the problem. But I knew I was coming over here, and I knew I needed a good tire on that car. And I was complaining when I got home. And my wife looked at me and said, "Honey, at least you had the money to pay for it."
Amen.
You had the money right there. You didn't have to say, "Well, I can't afford a tire. I'd like to have it, sir, but I can't afford it." Lord blessed you.
Amen.
Said, don't think negative all the time. You think of the positive things. You think when the Lord has showed himself to you, when the Lord has blessed those around you to be cured of these terrible diseases and things like that. We have an arm with us, friend, but it's not of flesh. We have the Lord with us. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a man by the name of Elisha there. And he prophesied it's not going to rain for, I think, 3.5 years. And the Lord tells him to go by a brook. And he'll be able to drink from the brook, and the raven is going to feed him. And you know what? The brook dries up. The brook dries up. Let me tell you, friends, my brook's dried up before too. I taught at a school for 23 years. And a girl made false accusations toward me. And I resigned. I was low. I was at the lowest point in my life. A job that I loved dearly, and a community I loved dearly, a place where my wife works and my children went to school. But I felt it's time for me to move on. Now, won't you listen to this, friends? I now work at a school, and when I tell you where I work, if you know anything about education, you're probably going to laugh. I work at an alternative school. If you don't know what an alternative school is, I'll tell you when church is over. And I thought, Lord, I've been in hell literally for 23 years at that school. Because the parents of that school didn't want you to, they wanted discipline for one child, but they didn't want it for theirs. There was so much pressure all the time to not do right. I'm going to tell you, when I teach school, I'm going to treat every child the same, whether it's yours, mine, or anybody else's, whether they're black or white or Chinese or whatever. I'm going to treat them the same.
Amen.
And I was constantly hammered because I wouldn't bow down to certain people. If I caught them doing certain things, they were turned in the office just like somebody else. And I thought that's where I needed to be. It was close to home. It was a nice place. But you know what? I began to pray. Lord, you know what I need. I don't need this anymore. I'm getting a little older, and I don't need all this pressure and stuff. And I tell you, I have a job now. I've been there 4 years. I've had 2 bad days in 4 years. Two. I tell you, how many of y'all can say that? And you know what I do, Brother Clayton? I thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
He knew what I was in need of, and he took me to that place. That brook dried up, but Lord, he gave me another one. He gave me one much better. He gave me one where I can skip school today. Because that's where I'm supposed to be. And I got news for you. I'd rather be here than over there.
Yeah.
If I don't hear a lick of preaching, the singing show is mighty good. But the brook dried up. And you know what happened when the brook dried up? He sent him to a widow's house and said, "You go, and this widow's going to sustain you." You know where this widow's house was? In enemy territory. Oh, boy. How many of you want to go to enemy territory? It's a good place to go, isn't it? Enemy territory. That's where he was instructed to go. And you know what he did? He went. And he found this woman there, friends, that just had everything, didn't she? No, sir. She was about to cook her last meal for her and her son.
Yeah.
I want you to look at this, too. I find this very strange. What was his command to her? You fix for me first. I got news for you. Come tell me that. Come tell me you want my last biscuit. Sorry. That's what she told him. And let me tell you, I want you to listen to this. I believe this with all my heart, Brother Larry. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that every single day that barrel was empty. But in the morning there was enough for that day. And it was empty again. And the next morning they'd wake up and there was enough for the day. There wasn't abundance. I believe that's why the Lord said, give us this day our daily bread. I believe that's why he said that. You see, the Lord was with them. And he's with us. And I love what it says in Daniel, where those three Hebrew children are going to be placed in that fiery furnace. I love what they say. I had somebody question my belief on it the other day, but I tell you, I still hang tough with my belief on it. You know what those three children said? Whether he will deliver us or not, we don't know. But we know that he is able.
Amen.
I had a deacon of a church tell me that they knew that they were going to be delivered from that fiery furnace. I say no. I believe they knew that one way or the other, they wouldn't be in that king's hands. Because he was either going to deliver them from that furnace, or he's going to deliver them to a place that we're looking for.
Amen.
I want to chase a quick rabbit here. Got a guy that works at the Votech there, and I drive a bus, he drives a bus, and in the afternoons we pick up the high school kids. We have about 10 minutes we can talk. He told me he was going to a competition today with school. He'd be out, and I told him I'll be out too, because I'm going to church. He said, what religion are you, by the way? And I said, I'm Primitive Baptist. He said, what's the difference? I ain't tell you, friend. That's always a good question.
Amen. That's right.
That's always a good question. I began to tell him of some of the things we believe different. And he said, you know, I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with that too. I agree. I told him that this is not my home. We're strangers and pilgrims. He said, I understand that. He said, I've heard a preacher say that, but I never understood what he was talking about. I said, we're strangers here because we don't belong to this world. We're pilgrims here because we're just passing through. Our life's just a vapor here. I'm going to a place that's much better than this. I got news for you. I'm just like the Apostle Paul. If this was all the hope that I had right here, I'd be of men most miserable. And I don't take... I might want to dig myself out of a hole here. I'm in a great place right now. I don't want somebody to misunderstand that because I'm in South Alabama here. I think I'm in the wrong place. No, I'm talking about this world.
Right.
Where it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. Where it's okay to kill an unborn child. I tell you, friends, I don't have nothing for that. Not a thing.
Amen.
Not a thing. It's against God's word. I do want to chase one more quick rabbit. I heard this the other day. If you ever get in a discussion with somebody about abortion, I heard the other day that I heard that it truly happened. Whether it happened or not, I don't know. But this woman came into the clinic holding a small child and said, told her doctor that she wanted to get an abortion. He said, well, won't you give me that child you got right there? Let me kill it. And then you can have the baby. She said, oh, no, sir. Wouldn't think about killing this child. He said, why would you consider killing the one that you got inside you then?
Amen. That's absolutely right. Amen.
Why would you consider it? We have an arm with us, but it's a strong arm. It's the Lord's arm. He's with us each and every step of the way.
Amen.
David asked, or the psalmist wrote, where can I go? But the Lord's not there. No matter where I go, he's there with me. I want to quote one more verse here. Paul writing the church at Corinth. I heard my cousin, Elder Joe Nettles, preach this one time. I like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It says, watch you. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong.
Right.
Step up to the plate, fellas.
Right.
Be a man. You know what a man does? Man takes responsibility for his actions.
Amen.
That's the difference between a man and a boy. I got a lot of boys I teach. They never do anything wrong. It's not their fault. They don't make mistakes. Somebody calls them to do it. But a man steps up and says, yes, sir, I was wrong. And I say that to say this. If anybody wrongs you or you wrong them, go to them. Go to them now. In closing, yeah, Brother Clayton told you I'm from Southwest Mississippi. You may not be familiar with that. I hope you will become familiar with Southwest Mississippi. I call it God's country. There's two associations over there. One's called the East of Mitt, and one's called the West of Mitt. Until not too long ago, the East didn't fellowship the West, and the West didn't fellowship the East. And Satan has been happy for a long time. I got news for you. He's weeping now.
Amen. That's right.
He's weeping because we are together. Now, I tell you, friends, we have received some blessings. Lord has blessed us beyond measure. Strive to do what the Lord would have you to do. Lord places on your heart to do something, do it. Be like Hezekiah, do it with all your strength, all your mind, all your heart. Put your heart into it. I love you for Christ's sake. I appreciate the opportunity to be in Headland, Alabama. It's my first time here. I pray it won't be my last. I was supposed to have been at the Gulf Coast Fellowship meeting last year. I told Brother James Conley I did something I've never done before. I double booked myself. And I have not learned how to be in two places at one time. If you ever learn how to do it, my cell phone number is 601-757-5048. You give me a call and tell me how you did it. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.